Pursuing True North. I'm Jenny Scioto. Today, Catherine King and I share with you a precious woman, Beth Ann Yates. She is the Associate Professor of Medicine at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. She's also the chairman of Luke 9-2 Ministries. Join with us today and hear all about the amazing work Luke 9-2 Ministries is doing.
Beth Ann, thank you so much for sitting down with us today and
absolutely
giving us your time and telling us about you and about your amazing ministry. So
yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you. So we'll just start out talking a little bit about you and about the amazing woman of God that you are, and tell us a bit about your story and whatever you feel like sharing about your personal testimony and your life.
Well, I'm very fortunate because I grew up in a really strong Christian family with amazing parents and an amazing brother and sister. So I grew up in the church, and I don't really have a conversion story like a lot of people. I just kind of grew up knowing God, knowing Christ, and knowing that I was part of his overall plan. And I think my story can really be summed up a lot in this phrase that my parents quoted over and over, which was, "To whom much is given, much is expected." That was really how they raised me. You know, I was blessed with a stable home, with opportunity for education, the chance to develop good coping skills. And with every step of the way, I really felt like if God is giving me this many blessings, then oh my gosh, I have so much I have to give back. And so my parents instilled that in me, and then it just really became a part of who I was. So throughout kind of my teenage years and into high school and college, my faith was always a really big part of that. I found opportunities for service through church sort of organizations, and really just wanted to have a career that I could balance family, but still do something meaningful and fulfilling with all of those gifts and skills that God had given me.
So you're given all this wisdom and this amazing disposition of gratefulness and understanding that what you've been given. And so you just pretty much walked that through high school and college. And is that what, and you got a degree in the medical profession, right?
I did. And I won't say I was perfect along the way.
Oh, no. Of course not.
But that was kind of the guiding force was how can I use these gifts? And I loved science in school. I also loved people. But I also always really wanted to be a teacher. My dad was a teacher. My mom was a teacher. And that just kind of came naturally to me. So when you like science and you're good with people, everybody tells you should go to medical school. So that was the path I followed. And it was great. I loved medical school. It was a great opportunity for me. And when I got done, I ended up choosing to practice in primary care because I felt like that would give me the most opportunity for teaching. I could teach my patients about how to prevent illness and how to keep themselves healthy. I could teach students and resident trainees the broad areas of medicine to kind of prepare them for a life of taking care of patients. So I've had a great opportunity at Vanderbilt to both take care of patients and really develop my skills and have the opportunity to teach hundreds and hundreds of students.
That's really fun that you found, because not all medical groups do the teaching aspect. I know Vanderbilt's a teaching hospital,
exactly.
But not all associations are. So you were led into, I'm going to do both the beautiful, fun science part where you get to help people, but then also teach. I love how you were able to figure out how to balance that and kind of find your career and your path at an early age, because sometimes it's not, everybody doesn't quite get it that soon, but God definitely had an amazing plan for you and what he put in your heart from an early age. So.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, I often wonder if there really was only one correct path for me. You know, I followed this path and I trusted that God was going to make it what he wanted it to be. And so I wonder if even if I had made a different choice, if he still would have led me because I was trying to be faithful to what he wanted, to make sure that I was still able to use those skill sets and use those talents in a way to serve. So
what's beautiful about your story is you, like you just said, your trust in him.
Yeah.
And the whole way through your path, it kind of reminds me of that verse about, you know, that everything that you put in front of God, he will direct your paths. Like if you
exactly.
give it to him, he's going to direct it. So you did that at an early age, and this is the path he had you on. And he probably would have if you, I know at least for me, the times that I've gone my own path, I've gotten corrected and gone
you
back.
Do.
And I wonder if maybe I hadn't made some of those mistakes that my path to get to where I needed to be would have been it would have been shorter instead of the longer route that I decided to go. So
it might have been,
yeah.
But it also probably, at least for me, it makes me a more compassionate person.
Oh, me too. Definitely.
To realize that, yeah, I mess up just like everybody else. And so, so that has definitely taught me grace and compassion.
I think the exact same thing. I love that.
Yeah.
So how long were you with Vanderbilt before? Like, tell me about you work with Luke 9-2 Ministries as
yeah.
a chairman, but I'm sure you do more than just a chairman title because you
yeah.
are a doctor and you've been doing this for a while. Tell me
yeah.
about what led you to this ministry and how long you've been in it.
Well, so this is a fun story. So when I was a medical student, actually my major in college was Spanish. And so I had picked up and had gotten a chance to study abroad and was fairly fluent. And so when I was in medical school, I had this 2-week vacation in between my second and third year. And I felt called to use my vacation to go on a medical mission trip to somewhere with a Spanish-speaking population. And this was kind of before the internet was very big. So it was really hard to find these kind of trips. But I managed to find a trip to Honduras that just happened to fall during that 2-week vacation.
Coincidentally.
Exactly.
Happened to fall there.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, I didn't know anybody. It was through an organization out of South Carolina. At the time, I was a medical student at University of Florida. And I went on a limb and signed up for the trip and joined this team of medical and dental volunteers who went down to Honduras for a week to provide sort of mostly acute care to underserved populations. And it was an amazing trip. Personally, it was amazing because I functioned as one of the Spanish translators helping out the physicians.
Okay.
But I was able to learn so much as a medical student just by watching them work and helping them translate their conversations. So educationally, developmentally, it was great for me. And I felt like I was really providing a service.
You were providing a service.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine that if I'm hurt or in pain, not feeling well, and I need help, and I've got people that have come to help, but they're speaking a language I don't know, and
right.
you're already vulnerable and in pain, you are giving comfort and giving them grace and compassion while they are being treated, and they
yeah.
get to understand what's going on because you were there.
Yeah, it's so much easier to have those conversations in your primary language. So I got very excited about mission work. And on that trip, I actually met a dentist. His name was Doug Nally. He was from Nashville, Tennessee. And a physical therapist, Donna Trotter, she actually worked at Vanderbilt. And for the two of them, that was their first medical mission trip as well. And Doug Nally was so hyped up about missions. This was his first trip. He came back to his small Baptist church, Creevwood Baptist, here in the Nashville area, and he got his whole church excited about doing medical dental missions. And the next summer, that church sent a group down to Honduras, and they invited me to come with them, and I joined them. And that was how my connection with Nashville got started. So that small church in Creve Hall in Nashville, Tennessee, every year started sending a group of medical providers, dental providers, spiritual laypersons to go and minister to the folks in Honduras. And that was actually 20 years ago.
So you've been doing this for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. And so I ended up, after I finished medical school in Florida, I moved to Boston for my residency training and kept joining the Nashville crew every year on my vacations to go down to Honduras. And when I finally finished my residency training, of course, I had to move to Nashville. Partly for the job at Vanderbilt, but mostly I was led here because of that amazing church group.
It's a perfect mix of the ministry that you had been involved in and the teaching and the ministry you can have at home as well. So do you go every year?
Pretty much. And so ever since I moved to Nashville in 2005, and at that point, the ministry at Crevewood Baptist was just growing and growing, and we had really outgrown the small church. So in 2009, Doug Nally and I worked to create our own nonprofit, and we decided to call the group Luke 9:2 Ministries, based on the Bible verse, which is where Christ is talking to his disciples, and he tells them, "Go out into all the world and preach the gospel and heal the sick." Yeah, and that's what we really try to do. We try to provide medical and dental care and meet the physical needs so that we can earn their trust and open the door to be able to share why we're down there doing this.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So how big would you say, like, do you have a bunch of teams that go regularly each year and then volunteers that go, or do you have like a, you know, how does that look?
Yeah, that's a great question. Really, over the 20 years, our ministry has expanded to three different components. We provide medical care to about 20 communities in rural Honduras outside the capital city. We also provide water filtration systems to be able to provide these communities safe drinking water. And then our third aspect is we provide pastor training. So we recruit teachers and professors from really across the country to go down on a quarterly basis and train these bivocational pastors in the communities that we serve to try to help build and strengthen the community.
So you're sending people there for the medical?
Yeah.
And then you're sending them to help kind of teach also.
Exactly.
And the people down there so that they can continue the ministry after you all.
Exactly.
Have your times there and leave. That's,
yeah.
That's wonderful.
So we do two medical trips a year, but we also actually support a year-round physician who is from Honduras, who's an amazing Christian physician who felt called to serve his people and just needed a little bit of financial support to be able to do it. So we're able to support him year-round. So he travels between the 20 communities that we serve, providing basic primary care to families. And then we go down twice a year with trips to bring him medicines, bring him supplies, and support the work that he's doing. So that's really important because we didn't want to just be going down and putting on Band-Aids and leaving.
Right.
And this way, we feel like we have somebody who is there, and the communities know that Dr. Ponce is going to come back and see them. And so it enables...
They don't feel like they were abandoned at all. Exactly. Like, thanks for showing up and helping us for 5 minutes, and then...
Okay, bye.
Yeah, see you when. Oh, it's wonderful that you found a way to continue your work, even though you're not there
physically
at that
there
moment.
Yeah. And so we also, besides those two trips down, we take about one trip down a year where we send a team of engineers to put in the water filtration systems. And then our pastor trainings happen four times a year.
That is so amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So how do the regular people get involved? The ones that aren't, we aren't doctors, we're not, you know, can't, may not be able to be on the on the field, but yeah. How can we from home help you guys out?
Wow, Catherine, that's a great question, because we do take laypersons on the medical teams with us, because it does take quite a passel of laypersons to keep the trips going.
Non-medical and non-Spanish speaking.
Even non-Spanish speaking.
Places for regular folks.
Yes, we need people to help line up folks who are coming, help to fill the, dispense the vitamins and dispense the deworming medicine and, and even just provide prayer support for the people, entertain the kids, put stickers on their cheeks and paint the fingernails of the little girls and play soccer with the little boys. I think everything that we do down there speaks to what our purpose is in being down there.
That's really neat. So there are opportunities for people to volunteer to go on trips with you all.
Yeah.
And then
there's also opportunities even to stay here. So twice a year, we actually pack our medications to be able to take down on the trip with us. So for example, every January, it's usually the second Saturday in January, we have over 100 volunteers come to Creevewood Baptist and pack thousands and thousands of medications for the team to take down with us. And we could not do it without all the volunteers
that come and help us with that. That a family can do, or do you need to be 18? Because I know you're handling medications and stuff. Does it need to be older?
That's a great question. No, even kids come. Okay. I bring my five-year-old. He's now five, but he's gone pretty much every January. So we let the families do things like the vitamins, which are easy and aren't going to be potentially harmful to anybody. But it's a great way to get a whole family involved in service.
I know that's kind of a thing that parents almost struggle with a little bit. You see that there are these volunteer opportunities, but a lot of times it seems to be more geared for adults and things instead of families. So I like that you all have a way to get families even here involved.
Yeah. In fact, speaking of the kids, it reminded me the Creevewood Baptist Church last summer during their vacation Bible school week, the children got to pick a project to raise money for. And they actually raised money to buy one of the water filters that our team takes down to Honduras.
Oh, that's really sweet.
So it was a great way to get kids here in Nashville in vacation Bible school involved in telling their parents and telling their families about what's going on in Honduras and helping raise money so we could buy one of the filters.
It's letting these kids have some understanding and value that what they do and what they say is making a difference, for Jesus across
the world.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So are there any other ways that we can get involved or help you guys?
Those are the big ways, but we always have little projects going on where we need folks. We are a volunteer only organization, so we have no paid staff. We kind of work out of my basement and out of Creevewood Baptist Church, but we really rely on folks who are willing to bring their time and energy and skill sets to the ministry to be able to keep all of these different projects ongoing.
Okay, so can you tell us what the website is exactly?
Sure. It's www.luke9-2ministries.
Is it .com?
.org.
.org.
Actually, I think you get it if you get to .com as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and if you even just Google Luke 9-2 Ministries, it comes up pretty quickly.
Good. Okay. We're definitely going to make sure everybody has a list of website and everything. I just want to make sure in case somebody heard it and wanted to check it out before we, anything, that they would have that.
www.luke9-2ministries.org. And you can read stories from former trips. You can apply to serve on a trip. You can donate. You can find out when we're scheduled for that pill packing next January and in future dates. So we'd love for you to visit our website and see all the work that's going on.
Is there anything else that maybe we didn't cover or that I didn't ask that you'd like to share?
No, I just really appreciate the opportunity because to me, one of my prioritized values is taking care of others. I'm grateful to my parents for instilling that in me. I am working my hardest to instill that in my 5-year-old son. But I love all the people who are involved in this ministry because they are also committed to serving others and through their service, telling others about Christ. And I just think it's a great way to take care of people and strengthen people, but also always do that knowing that this is God's work that we're doing. I mean, it's amazing that 20 years ago, I stepped foot on a plane by myself to Honduras, happened to meet Dr. Doug Nally, happened to get connected with Creevewood. I mean, God had a plan all along. And I've told people before, if you told me on that day 20 years ago that I was going to end up being chairman of a ministry doing all this work in Honduras, I would have been scared to death. But God just led me through each step, and I was prepared by the time that he asked me to take the next step. And so I just would love for this story to encourage people to look around them and say, what small step do I need to take today that could lead to something really amazing later on?
So just that, those little obedient steps,
yeah,
that led to exactly what you're doing and the beautiful work that you and everyone with this ministry does. I appreciate your heart and your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Giving us everything about you and what you do. So thank you so much.
Yeah,
for
thanks.
Your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed today's interview with Beth Ann Yakes and Luke 9-2 Ministries and hearing all about the great things that Luke 9-2 is doing. If you want the link to their website, it's in the show notes. And as always, you can find the links to their website and all of the information on pursuingtruenorth.com. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. See y'all next week.